So today we're talking about vulnerability, being vulnerable. I started thinking in the context of like today, the moment in time we're in, and how, what's the thing with all the dudes now, that's the unhealthy dudes, the, I don't want to call them incels because that feels so just like, damn, the manosphere.
The manosphere.
Yes, which I'm like, y'all could have came up with a way better name for this.
Have you seen Ronnie Chang's comedy special?
No, not a recent one if he's done it.
I think it's fairly recent. He talks about the workout to incel manosphere. It's brilliant. Highly recommend.
I will watch that.
Yeah, that part of it's really great.
When you sent like the topic, that just stuck out in my head. And then I look at the definition, and let's see, what is this from the Oxford Dictionary? Because they're the ones, I guess.
Yeah, what's Oxford?
It says, vulnerability, the quality or state of being exposed to the possibility of being attacked or harmed, either physically or emotionally. Mm. That is also one to where emotionally attacked. I think so many things. And I definitely think as a man and working to not always look at stuff as from like the strength perspective, hearing you can emotionally attack someone is one of those things where I'm like, what? Like, how do you emotionally attack someone?
I dealt with this when I was married a lot, where my husband, he was pretty dismissive of all of my emotions. And, you know, the pain that that caused me, I used to have to tell him that just because he wasn't physically abusing me didn't mean he wasn't hurting me.
Okay.
And I think that so often we categorize pain by this like either physical.
Yeah.
Because it's visible. And we forget that so much. I mean, that's essentially what trauma is, right? Mm-hmm. It's the emotional pain that we feel as a result of things happening to us. This was inspired by, as most of my, not most, let me not say most, as many of my, you know, ideas for our conversations are, a man I was dating or seeing, whatever you want to call it. And at some point I started to realize that he wasn't really going below the surface in any way. I was opening up about my past, my traumas, you know, my experiences, whatever, all the things that I think you should do in a relationship or when you're trying to do a relationship.
Yeah.
And at some point I realized, I was like, oh, this man doesn't really do the same. Like, he doesn't talk about anything deep. I had this conversation with my therapist where I was like, is that just like not what some people do? And she's like, some people, but this man has said he wants to be a therapist someday. He lost both of his parents in the last decade. So he has things that he could go deep about. So he is not a white person in this world, which I think is enough of a reason to have some depth because of the way the world treats non-white people.
Yeah.
And so when I raised it with him that I would like a relationship where there's emotional intimacy, which includes vulnerability, and da 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 da, he ended it a couple days after that. And I think there were other reasons. I don't think that was just the only reason. But in the midst of him ending the relationship, he kind of brushed off this request that I had to be vulnerable. He was kind of like, well, people tell me all the time that I'm stoic and that's whatever. That's just how it is. But there's this other thing and that's why I'm going to end it. And I found it fascinating because I was like, I don't even really think he understands what I was saying when I was asking for emotional intimacy or vulnerability. I think he just thinks that that's just who he is and that's how he's going to be and that's that. Mm. Which then made me, yeah, again, want to just have this conversation about like vulnerability, the risks of it, why it could be scary, but also what's its role in our ongoing conversation about healing. So I don't know. That was a lot to throw up there, but I just wanted to give the context.
I kept thinking about it, especially the like risk reward part. And then I think a thing that I don't know why, what it is. I start trying to remove those like categories or labels, and especially like, oh, it's not just two options. And
of risk and reward, you mean?
Yeah, like you do this thing and there's the risk, there's the reward. And to me, it's, I started going like, wait, no, like I know there's another way that I could think about this. And the thing that I landed on so far is, yeah, there's risk, there's reward, and then there's just like it. Like, it's just matter of fact, like I'm just going to do this thing and whatever the response is, be okay with that. And I had to like break it away from risk and reward because I keep getting this feeling of the value of interacting with another human or another being. It's been like eroded. It just seems so much now. If it's, oh, if I'm not like making money, then I don't want to do it. Or if I'm not being quote unquote productive, then it's a waste of time. And it's just like money has become the thing that is the value, like the only valuable thing. That's what made me like, no, it ain't risk or reward. Like I had to do that. It's like, no, this is just a thing in which one does or ideally could do to bring about like a stronger connection.
Which is arguably a reward, right?
Yeah. Like,
there is a risk of letting yourself, I mean, I define vulnerability as like allowing yourself to be seen fully, right? And if you really want to get explicit with it, you're naked emotionally. Men may feel it's less than women, but for us, getting naked is a scary proposition because we're like, oh God, you're going to see all of the dents and imperfections that the world tells us is just so hideous and ugly because, God forbid, we don't have, you know, poreless skin and no cellulite and all these things, you know, like, God forbid that we have a human body.
Yeah.
I would say vulnerability is the emotional version of that nakedness. And so there's definitely a risk because, you know, there's men out there who will give you a hard time if your body does not look how they have been. It should look. And similarly with emotions, like there are men who you put stuff out there and they use it against you, which is what my ex-husband did to me. So I think your risk reward calculation is a valid one.
It's, I think what I, but the reason why I had to like not think of those words was because I started immediately going into like rational, pragmatic, like, well, this is the reason why this is this. And it was more so, being rational.
What do you mean? Say more.
It started becoming like an academic exercise.
Oh, the practice of vulnerability.
Yeah, like
in practice, it felt like academic as opposed to
heart-led. Yeah, it was just all rational thinking and then going from rational to then logic of like, this is how I can get to this end result. Like whatever it was, like, oh, if it's a risk, these are the ways I think that this could be a risk. As opposed to just like, wait, what? Feel when I hear this word and when I'm thinking about this or the times I've been vulnerable, like what did I feel though? And letting that kind of drive me. So it was a really tricky thing that I didn't really think would be tricky for me to think about because I'm like, hell yeah, I could be vulnerable. Shit, I'm open book. Ask me a question. Don't ask me something you don't want the answer to though. And I didn't realize how I also use that as a shield to not really be fully vulnerable.
So that I think is like the crux of this. Real vulnerability, I think, means taking down and or putting down the shields or taking off the masks or putting down all this armor. I know we'll get into this, but like we step outside our front doors and we have to protect ourselves from a lot of things. You as a Black man, me as a woman, as a brown woman, all the things. I find it interesting when we talk about, vulnerability in what context? Like vulnerability and safety, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, what are the contexts in which we want to feel safe enough to be vulnerable? And where is it like, no, you don't have to be vulnerable here because it's not safe to be vulnerable
here. And with that, the other part was, it was like, I never forget, it was like Tyler Creator, comment on a tweet where it was like, oh, something about cyberbullying. And he's like, I'll never understand cyberbullying. Like, fool, just walk away from the screen, like turn it off.
Totally.
And in my mind, like, I thought the exact same thing. Like, even before I saw him comment, I'm like, just ignore, like delete it or just remove it or just don't look at that. And it still was a thing where I'm like, oh, wait, so much of our world is based off of these things and the way people interact and are accessible. That's what also made me think of like, oh, I don't know if it was, I think it was a subconscious thing of if I make it to where I'm externally letting people know, like, oh, I'm open, just ask me whatever and I'll answer it. I think now, like, consciously being aware of it, that I used that. It was a shield, but it was a shield going off of like the probability that someone's going to actually ask me a quote unquote like deep question is really low, because I right. also just looked at the way most people interact. It is yeah. the small talk. It is. And that like clicked for me when we were originally talking to do this as a topic. At some point when I started like looking at the definition and just like reading other articles, it's like, oh, like I'm still using this as a shield. And the thing that came up immediately was my relationships with other men.
Oh, say more. Wait, I want to say one thing about the Tyler, the Creator thing that I want us to come back to. We'll circle back to this, but vulnerability, its relationship to healing, and what that has to do with other people's perceptions of us, which you and I have talked about before, right? Of like, do I care what other people think about me? So anyway, we'll table that and we'll come back to it.
But that is a thing. That's definitely a thing. And that's the thing with vulnerability that's stuck in my head. So thinking of like relationships with men to where having to, for me to decide when I want to interject when I hear some problematic shit. It's the,
like when a man says something that you know is really toxic and you are trying to gauge whether or not you
yeah,
call it out.
It becomes a thing to where, for me, it is me being vulnerable because I'm showing you and telling you I don't rock with this. And yeah. I am aware of the like societal, social interactions and how I also think many men, based off strength, physical, like it's a physical thing. And then if they hear you saying something that's contrary to the larger group, it becomes this thing to where like you're weak. It made me think also about the word sensitive, how the word sensitive gets used. Like sensitive isn't a weak, it's not a weakness. Just like you are just more aware and tuned to whatever the environment is, to feeling things.
But men will use that as a derogatory term.
Yes.
Against other men and sometimes women.
To me, I think it mostly comes from, has been made derogatory because women are typically seen as more sensitive.
Yeah.
So then it's like, ooh, if I say this, then
it's not masculine.
Yeah, I'm a hitch. I know this is going to get you. It's like the word bitch. I think of like, I don't really say it that much. And I can think outside of me rapping along to some song, I can't think of a time in the last, I don't know how many years, where I've said it to a woman.
Yeah.
And it still freaks me out when I hear other women. I'm like, that's my bitch. It's this bitch. I'm like, oh, shit. Like, hold up. Like,
well, that's us claiming it. That's us reclaiming the word.
And I will forever say, just like the N-word, you can't reclaim a word. Like, you just can't. Once it gets pulled, I think when something's rooted in evilness, like, it's just there. It's a weed.
We'll have to have another episode on this one because I think it's such a complex.
It is.
It's if only the world were so evolved.
I get it.
Reclaim words.
Yeah, I'm like, once it's there, it's there. But the thing, when I start thinking about it, I'm like, I know the times I have said bitch, it has always been to a man. I'm like, if I think in the most like recent history, I can immediately go like, oh, I know I said that to a man because I know it was going to cut through so hard and hit you in your, wherever you want to call it, where your masculinity is. And again, it's because how that is tied to a woman.
Now, so I'm going to go back to what you were talking about, which is the like the calculation that you do internally, whether or not you're going to call people up. You've told me lots of stories about having called men out for doing and saying stupid shit, right? Which that is a vulnerable moment for mm-hmm. you, because your friends could turn their backs on you. They could call you a bitch. They could whatever. They could do a number of things in an attempt to hurt you for calling them out on this behavior. So at the end of the day, what makes you decide, fuck it, I'm still going to do it?
Huh. The first few things that came to mind is I really try and live by a code. And I also, I don't know what a better word, I loathe bullies. I've just never liked anyone, even when I'm like, I'll bully a bully. Like, I don't like it when I take that energy on. Yet it's a thing to where I don't care who it is, what the group is, what the situation is. When all the signals to me say someone's being bullied, I'm like, oh, do it to me. Because it's not me trying to think I'm tough or badass. I just know that I'm more than likely willing to go much further than the other person is. Much farther, further, whatever word. And that to me always sticks out, because I think about where I was a few years ago, say 5 years ago, in comparison to now. It's a completely different person. And how I just don't want to look back at myself in the past. It's like not even be proud. It's like not even more so be like comfortable with where I was at that time and like who I was.
Integrity.
Yeah. Like, so it's that. It to me, if you are to be in my life, you're going to recognize that. And more than likely, you're not going to take it personal. And I also think if you decide to take it personal, you still know what you're dealing with when you're dealing with me. Yeah. It's like, you know what you are interacting with. And if that, like, you're just like, they're not in a place in their life to be like, okay, I get it.
Yeah.
I'm like, it doesn't mean that you got to stop all that. Just know if you do it, either I'm making a calculation of like, love you, take care, see you from a distance, or I'm going to continue to call your ass out. And then it's like, okay, now we just go be at this point where like, I'm probably not going to stop. You're going to break before I will. And that's the thing that always comes up for me. It's the immediate thought is just, oh, this is bullying. And I don't like that.
Yeah. So I have lots of questions for you now. calling out toxic male behavior, we'll call it, is really about protecting someone else. It's about protecting women for the sake of.
I would say it's both. It's I'm trying to be someone that is offering protection, even if they're like not there. I'm also trying to protect myself from falling back to behaviors like that.
Oh, interesting. So actively standing up for it is you also making sure that you're not like.
Yeah, it becomes the new habit. It's the new muscle memory for me to go like, oh, wait, that thing happened? And it's like, oh, no, we're not going back to that.
So if I'm hearing you, you do this because you can't stand for bullying. You don't want to be someone who also perpetuates that behavior or those, you know, mindsets, actions, words. So then what keeps you from being vulnerable about your stuff, like your personal stuff, not the external world of toxicity or whatever? If at the end of the day, if someone ends up using it or tries to use it against you, you have the wherewithal to see that they are a bully for doing that and you would just walk away from them.
I'm trying to think of how to frame it. I think from a young age, I recognized and understood that I just didn't operate in the way the methods or the methodology that those around me seem to. And with that, I feel like I've always lived with a sense of not belonging. And I think what that created for me was just, and then being like the only child, well, my birth mom's only child, and I kind of pretty much grew up raised an only child. There was a level of what I now call like hyper independence that I think what it created is a level of like, oh, I don't need to interact with people. And then also not really understanding the nuance between being okay with being alone and then loneliness. So I think because I grew up a lot of the times just by myself, like friends and everything, yeah, but still having that feeling of, I'm not connected to you all in the manner I see everyone else connecting with each other, because what is it, like one of the stereotypes of being on the spectrum, like you just speak in a way that most people just don't. There's a directness and candidness that is very like, oh shit. So I think that was another thing that made me not recognize things as being vulnerable. I'm like, well, this is just how I'm programmed. Like, this is just how I operate. So if I'm thinking something, feeling like, I think the most recent example, yesterday was a really bad social day for me. I kind of call them that. It was more so interacting with other people. And that when I have those days, like I stutter way more, I feel like way more susceptible to external stimuli. And I had to go to the dentist, and they had a dental assistant there. Typically, when I go anywhere, I'm very particular, like finding the doctor that I want and like talk to them and pretty much interview them. And this dentist, I love him to death because they're like very clear with the rest of the staff, like, hey, he's on spectrum. He is very susceptible to like sound. And every time I go in with headphones, every time for like certain areas, they'll like lower the music. The dentists are like amazing at like, hey, she like explains everything, because I'm typically like, well, what is that? Why are you doing it? What does it do? Why is that necessary? And in those environments, like I feel really vulnerable. Having a bad social day, the dental assistant, he was such a sweet dude. He's talking to me and I'm like, I cannot do this. I'm trying to like mask and talk to him. And I'm like, fuck this, I'm not doing it. I just looked him in the eyes like, I don't want to talk. And he looked, and I could tell he was like, oh shit. I just like closed my eyes, and I kind of have like a thing that I do with my like hands that helps me feel like a little bit more like grounded. And I was just focused on that, doing that. I think it was like a really vulnerable moment because they started doing what they were doing and they were asking me questions like, how does this feel? I was stuttering so hard. And now I'm getting really angry. Like, I want to just speak, but this is really hard right now. And I just got frustrated. I just kind of like hit the chair and they're like, it's okay. Like, you're good. I was like, I just want to be able to talk. Like, I just want to be able to speak to you all how I know people can speak. But because I'm having this bad social day, I am just so angry right now. And I just started crying on the chair. I'm like, oh, wow. And the nurse, I never forget what the other person's name is, she was just like the sweetest woman. And she would like ask me about headphones because she sees like, you always got them on. And I'm like telling her about them and stuff. And I remember just saying like, hey, I'm really sorry that like I did that. It's just like, it's just really hard to interact right now. And they're just like the sweetest people. So I think just doing that, or things like, I've done that a lot in life, I never really understood that something like that to be vulnerability. And so I think that's where the word and like reading about it, I was like, well, huh? Like, why is this? Like, I thought people just do this. But then I started realizing, oh, wait, I do this. But when it comes to these interactions, I am way more conscious about it. And the other thing is recognizing the uniqueness in which I grew up. Felt like, because if I shared certain things, because there were so many other folks involved, I've typically been less, oh shit, what's going to happen to me? And more, okay, what's going to happen to them? And a lot of that comes from also how I think many of those people respond. Like, oh, more than likely not in the healthiest of ways. And so I think that's a thing. No, I know that's a thing that has kept me to a certain level, like I'll be open. Like, I'll be open to a certain level. But it's like when it starts asking me about certain experiences or people I know and things like that, I'm typically like, oh, no, no.
Well, it sounds like for you, I mean, even just telling that story on the podcast, which you and I both have shared personal stories throughout our recordings, but it seems almost like you're comfortable with vulnerability if it's necessary for survival, right? Getting through surviving. You're comfortable with vulnerability if, like, morality based, essentially, which then begs the question, do you feel like vulnerability can allow you to actually connect with other individuals on a deeper level? Like, true vulnerability, do you think that that can create a different kind of connection with another human being?
I definitely think it does. I also think just the way a lot of it is described, like, I went on a few dates with a lady, and I guess, yeah, we were dating for not long, like a month or something like that. And she would talk about, like, spirituality, and, like, she's very spiritual and being aligned with, like, the stars and the moons. And I'm like, all right, cool. This is cool. But I'm also mentally going, like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, what are you talking about? The Mars is in its third, whatever the hell, and Saturn. I'm like, yo, just tell me what you think. And just kind of, yeah, like, hearing so many things like that, I just say, like, you know what? I right now cannot give you that. Like, this is important to you and it matters.
What did you think she wanted?
She said how, like, spirituality is, like, really important to her. Like, if she's with someone, she wants to have that. And I remember asking, like, what does that mean? And she couldn't give me what I would say, like, a tangible definition. It's like, oh, it's a thing, like, you just know, like, y'all just do it. And I'm like, yeah, I don't really do well with stuff like that. I need a little bit of, like, some type of example or how you define the higher power you might believe in or whatever it might be. And it's like, oh, with all these other things, I can be vulnerable with you. It just then becomes a thing to where, like, what the hell are you talking about? And that makes me put up a wall.
Oh, interesting. I mean, to me, that just sounds like a difference of interests. It's like if a guy were to talk to me about cars, I'd be like, I would try to understand, but I'd be like, okay, I appreciate that you could share your, like, passion about that with me, but it's not going to be a point that we connect on. But I do love knowing that that's something that is important to him. If he were to say, I need a woman who cares about cars as much as I do, I would say the same thing you did, which is like, this is probably not going to work. But yeah, I think even just being able to, I guess when I talk about vulnerability and emotional intimacy, you know, for me, that's like, I want to know how you feel about things. I want to know what you struggle with. I want to know what lights you up. I want to know what motivates you. I want to know, human beings, we're driven by our emotional bodies more than our logical one. It's science, right?
That's that rational mind.
The oldest part of our brain is the side that is driven by emotional reaction.
That fight, right? Or flight, like, oh shit, yeah. Survival.
And everything in between, right? So love, connection, those are animal instinct responses to things, which is why I think it's so often hard to explain what love is from a...
See? Hold on.
I'm like... a lot of language, but I think as a feeling, it can be often really hard to, or even understand it, right? Like, understand, why do I feel so much love for this person and not this person? Even when there are people who treat us like shit, we could still feel a lot of love for them, right? So that's our animal brain. And that's been with us since before we developed any of the rational brain stuff. And so for me, when I'm saying, I want to know you deeply, I want to know you intimately from an emotional perspective, I want to know what's actually driving your behavior beyond the logical mind that says, well, I'm going to do this because it's the most rational thing to do. I want to know what came before that. I want to know the feeling that you felt and talked yourself through in a very rational way to land on the decision that you chose to do this, right? Like,
okay.
Because that's like the inner workings of your engine, right? I know the engine makes your car go, but knowing how the engine actually works tells me so much more about you than any of the other rational stuff. Because this is also the thing. It's like when you grow up in a home where everything is emotion driven, the angry outburst, the dramatic tears, the crazy expectations, because God says. Everything in that household was instinctive emotional responses. In some ways, I don't know how safe I am with you unless I know how your engine works.
That makes sense, because it sounds that now lets you understand, like, when you're interacting, you have a higher or more clear vision as to, like, oh, if I approach this way, oh, I know how, when this was shared with me, how they experienced it and how what drove them.
Yes.
And
ultimately makes a relationship stronger, right? You and I talk about communication all the time. And I'm like, the number of men in my life who cannot handle the way I express my feelings. And not to say that everything revolves around men, right? But I do care about how I make people feel. And I do want to know that if V thinks this way about stuff, I'm going to probably do my best to, like, work with the way that V thinks, right?
See, that's kind.
Well, I mean, I think that if we love and care for people, that's, like, the least we can do. That I think that's the, like, reciprocal part of being in relationship, which is, yeah, like, I understand you enough to know how to meet you where you are, instead of just standing firm in where I am and saying, I'm right here. If you want to come over here and meet me, cool. If not, bye.
Yeah.
So it's, for me, like, it's an integral part of relationships, because, yeah, I mean, it's like when I have anxiety in a relationship, I hope I end up with a partner who can reassure me, mm-hmm. not tell me, get over it. Look. Right?
One of the reasons why it's, I don't know, maybe like 40% a joke when I'm like, girl, I don't know why y'all like men. Like, stop. Just, like, use us to procreate and then just go do y'all other stuff. Because the thing that I think about a lot when I make that joke is, I don't really care how people go take this. I don't think that there's enough attention and resources put into helping men. I am, like, really obsessed with this, like, right now, or I would say hyper-fixated, in that I've been reading so many studies and, like, market research about how things, like, in the last, like, 20 years, how women in, like, the social progress and, like, corporate and jobs at school, they're just, like, exponentially succeeding or surpassing men. And the thing that I think ends up creating the manosphere and all these unhealthy things is because, I think I've said it before, like, one of the most dangerous things I know is an isolated man.
I was just going to say, 90% of how we get to where we are as women is because we hold community as, like,
yes,
number one.
And there's, like, a true level of actually being in community, making time, like,
unpack everything.
Yeah.
We unpack every little thing. This dude ended month thing. The number of hours that my 5 or 6 closest girlfriends spent talking to me, checking in on me, taking me out to dinner, buying me a massage. The nooks and crannies that we explored, yes, together. Like, what did I do? Why is he a piece of trash? What are his, what are his psychological issues that he needs to work on? What are the lessons that I've, yes, learned about? We will break everything down, which makes us 10 times smarter the next time we go into
any, yeah, situation. With men, you just getting like, oh, fuck her. Like, oh, exactly, whatever. On to the next one. And you just like, damn, man. Like, I kind of wanted to cry with you, but like, like, all right, cool. Or I always, it's a thing to where when I hear that, it makes me think about male friends that I have. I'd be like, yo, let's get dinner. And it's a thing that, like, I'm actively trying to build, like, closeness.
Yeah.
And then I'll see how it can be foreign to them. Because I think most men typically meet in groups. It's like, yeah, very rarely. And the other thing,
or drinking or women.
Yes. It's like not just like, hey, yo, just come kick it. Like, just one of my friends, I'm Jason, I'm shouting you out. I love that man because he'll just be like, hey, come to the crib. Or he'll hit me up and be like, what you doing today, fam? Like, I'm going to go to this thing. You want to come?
all of that.
And it's just, there's no anything with that. Cause I love that he doesn't tie like who he is as a man to this thing of like, I can't quote unquote show weakness or anything. Like I can't cry or anything like that. But the thing that I thought about when you're sharing is because at such a young age, boys who didn't become men, we are automatically cut off. Like, don't cry. I just don't think people understand is like that one thing, how it creates, I think, the vast majority of shit that we deal with. Because now I look at it in the sense of, I can't remember what show I was watching. A woman was talking about like her standards for a man and how there aren't many men for them to meet that. And there was a gentleman talking, saying like, there's men, but like, you just not giving them a chance. And I understood both of them because if I've moved up the ladder as a woman in the last however many decades, yeah, I do have like a really tiny pool to date from. Yet if I'm a man at those standards, men, there's like studies that show like men, quote unquote, like date down a lot. Like that doesn't matter, like the woman's like her job or like her income or anything like that. But for women, it's typically the opposite. Like you need to not even be like the same level. You got to be like above me because I want to have that protection. And so it becomes this thing to where I'm like, oh, we all fucked. Like
Gabor Mate, I won't attribute it totally to him, but he, for those who have been listening, I think to us, have probably heard me reference him before, but he's like the GOAT of trauma therapists. He says like the more intelligent a woman is, the more likely she will stay single.
Yeah.
I agree. I feel deeply for men. And, you know, women evolved to, in these ways, to survive. Like a lot of the things that women do are survival mechanisms. Mm-hmm. We have to gossip, whether we like it or not, is part of that because it tells us who's safe, who's not.
Yeah.
Who's the man at the office that's going to get a little extra feeling at the office party? Like, gossip is also a part of that. And I think that what women are struggling with, it's not an excuse because patriarchy has infiltrated the minds of women as well. And all those moms out there who are raising young men and are not teaching them to be comfortable with their emotions are just as culpable as the dads who are not doing that, right? Or as the guys who won't come and cry with you or whatever it is. So I think that what's hard for women is the demands of the world are already outsized for us, right?
Yes.
We have to already show up to make it in this world. And then you're telling me that
I got it.
Not you, the general you. Is telling me that if I find a good man who just needs some extra education, training, patience, whatever, I'm tired. You know, but I would say I gave this man, if I rattled off red flags, I know some of them would piss you off, but we're not going to go there right now.
Oh, God.
And I overlooked them because it's so ingrained in me to give men a longer runway. Whereas if I would have been honest about these flags from the minute they started appearing, I would have ended it 3 months ago.
Yeah, I think that is a thing.
We don't know. Mm-hmm. Men have to start doing something. This loneliness epidemic of men, right? Men have to start taking responsibility to teach themselves how to do some of this stuff, because I think there are a lot more women than you. Mm-hmm. I even know who are ready and willing to be patient with the man who's willing to put the work in.
I agree. The thing that just keeps getting me as the challenge is you don't know.
Know what?
You, as a man, I think so many of us just don't know where the hell to even start. Because it becomes this thing. To me, I think because the way in which I like communicate aided me and being able to talk to women and just saying like, I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
And I think what started happening, I started getting responses and hearing words I just didn't really understand. And then that, me being curious and going like, well, shit, I don't want to be in a conversation and not understand what's happening. And I think being able to do that and being in therapy since a child, it gave me my curiosity and understanding a little bit in how therapists might ask a question. Yeah. It started me trying to mentally do therapy for me. Like, okay, she said this thing and I'm like, that sounds stupid. Or to me, it's just like, it wasn't that. And she's telling me I'm not hearing her. So I got to figure out, why am I not hearing her? And then created, let me go, find something that can probably, get me down some path. It's like, whether it's the right one or whatever, let me just move. And I think that's just really hard when you more than likely don't have that thirst for knowledge. A thirst for understanding.
Thirst for understanding. And let's also name the very big elephant in the room, which is patriarchy and the world and white supremacy do not want men to understand any of this stuff. You are the robots of capitalism.
Yeah.
You are the tools of wealth generation for a lot of old white people.
You're fuel.
And this came up with this guy as well, this idea that especially if you are not a white man, God forbid you show any emotion. Right? Mm-hmm. Again, I have a lot of empathy for men who struggle with this. I will say for anyone listening, there are organizations.
There's
an organization called A Call to Men. There's a Ashanti branch up here in the Bay Area who does really great work with young Black and brown men about literally taking their masks off. And I think there's got to be the desire, curiosity, the desire to learn, the desire to understand is step one. My fear is there's not a lot of that curiosity even,
words of Kendrick is not enough.
It's not. Speaking of, I just shout out to Kendrick, for many things, but the album before, is it GTX? People are going to slam me for not knowing.
It's GNX, Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers.
Morale and the Big Steppers. Say there's a lot of commentary that could be done around that, but I have such a respect for him for putting the stories out that he did.
Yes.
That's vulnerability, right?
It is a thing to where when I first started hearing and I started hearing, Eckhart? I can't remember. Moment I heard him, I'm like, oh, I know where this is going. And then I also if you listen to any of his music, it's pretty vulnerable. It's very open. He's talking about I'm not trying to be this thing. He's always I'm not y'all savior. I'm not trying to be that because I also do some shady shit. But
even being able to admit, even being able to say I've done shady shit is vulnerable. I respect that because it's self-awareness.
Yeah. And I think that's the thing to where people connect and why his art is so impactful. That album and Jay-Z's last album, 444, I'm think at some point, those are the two albums within, hip hop, the culture and the community that when a lot of men hit a certain age or they go through some real heartbreak, and if they hear those two albums, they're going to be and I think also, yay, that shithead, his 808s and Heartbreak album.
Don't say Drake. That man, he does it for the sales. I don't believe
Drake. He ain't got 1 ounce. That man is just performing. But I think Ye's album, "Always in Heartbreak," it created.
Oh, sorry, Ye. I don't know why. You have to cut all this out. People are gonna be like, "Sima does not know what she's talking about."
Look, they're gonna be all right. They're gonna mind their damn business and they're gonna stay.
I don't know album names. That's my problem.
Yeah,
Crazy. It's 444. I do know because when I listen, I'm not a Jay-Z fan, but when I listen to that, which I'll probably also get, people will be like, this girl.
No, they'll live their lives because most of these people ain't got good music taste anyway. But it's hearing those things, and I love it because I'm those are examples I've used when talking to certain people. I'm you singing this song. So that's what this really is about. So I think the thing is that you have one group who has this really deep understanding from such a young age. And then you have another group who, it's not that they can't have it. They've just been hurt already. So it's like, you got to figure out a way to like heal or learn to live with some things in order to still get to that next step of, okay, this is how I can like do this externally. This is how I can show up in these ways. And that's where I think so much of it is. And I see it with, for women, is just reminds me of any, I like to say, like attacked group, that most of the time you got to be educating the people who's attacking you, or like the people who have created the circumstances that you have to live in. For me, I always look at it as, whether it's fair or unfair, I don't care. If I can help one less person not be shitty, I'm worth it. Like, if I got the time and the energy at that moment, you know what? Let's have this conversation. Because to me, like, yeah, it's one less person. And then I don't know what the network effects will become after that. Like, it could be that next person makes it bigger and then it grows. I think the other thing with vulnerability and even like concepts like this is, I think the marketing around these things need to become better. Like, the marketing got to get way better. I think anything that's considered quote unquote progressive or whatever it might be, I'm like, the marketing is always so bad. Like, when you just say patriarchy, I know a lot of people who are like, damn, like, I didn't do anything. Like, men, like, what you saying fuck me for? Like, I didn't do anything. And I'm like, let's start figuring out other ways to reach people.
Yeah.
And that's the part that I think wedges us.
It wedges us. I also, the last thing I'll say is, I just think that, like, you and I feel like always get back to this place of, you have to love yourself. Because at the end of the day, I've fucked up a lot in my life. I'm not perfect. And there are certain things that have happened to me or that I've experienced that, yeah, I mean, people did me wrong. And I can accept my part in those situations, not to say that I'm to blame.
Yeah.
There's something from all of those situations that if I can just accept that they happened, there's something I can actually take to make me better and love myself, knowing that, yes, X, Y, and Z has happened to me. And those are things that some people are going to want to use and weaponize against me. But as long as I've accepted those things and I've loved myself through them, right? Like, I've been sexually abused multiple times in my life. There are some men who will look at that and think, oh, she's going to be crazy.
Because she had
experiences, right? That no longer is actually a vulnerability of mine.
Yeah.
Because I've healed the part of me that got hurt and traumatized by those experiences, right? So I think the idea that you and I have multiple times come back to the idea of love yourself. Truly, truly love yourself in all the nooks and crannies, so that whatever you say, whatever you do, regardless of what, to your point, everyone is just an online troll then at that point. I don't care what you have to say to me about what I've been through. If you think I'm going to be crazy because I've experienced this, good riddance. Like, I hope you heal from whatever you're judging yourself about right now.
Because more than likely you projecting what you feel like how you would handle this thing on me. I think that is like a big, big thing, because I noticed the times in which I'm just like, nah, that's it. I didn't do this for any other reason than just to do this. Like, there was no like, oh, because you did this, I did this. I'm like, well, for some things, my mind will work that way. But I'm like, the most part, I'm like, I just did the shit I wanted to do. And I was hoping for the result that I wanted to get. And the thing that I wish more of us did, is, regardless of how you identify, is challenge ourselves to be in the environments where we've felt vulnerable before. Because I get annoyed so much when I hear, like, oh, I'm just working on me. So I'm like, I'm not dating, I'm not doing this. Like, okay, How long are you going to do that? And when are you going to know that shit is done? Because I mean, you're always going to be working on you.
Yeah.
Or when I hear like, oh, I'm not trying to like have to teach you. I feel like that's relationships. Because there's going to be things that you know and it's shit that I don't know. So we help.
Hang on, what? It
depends. I think there's some things. But
yeah, I agree. There's some things. But like.
But
yeah.
I just think so much that I've had very few people in my life understand like, okay, your mind does not process things how the majority of folks do. And they've worked with me to change how they might interact. I can count the number. It's not even five people. And I notice how that's when I'm like, oh, I can be vulnerable. I can like tell you things that I'm more than likely not telling anyone else ever. And it's just that I had to recognize that and then either create a situation that would challenge me that then be like, all right, did I actually do enough work to be able to do this now? Or just end up in those situations to then do it? Because that's been the thing is like, I got to test my hypothesis. Like now it's a theory because I got to do some testing on this to be like, all right, you know what? I did that shit. And okay, this doesn't feel as horrible as I thought it would. And I'm trying to think of like recent situations I've put myself in to be like, oh, okay, this is different.
Yeah, because you were fortified. You were fortified and or you knew that regardless of what happened, you would be able to pick yourself back up.
Yes, that is the one to where.
That's the work. That's the healing.
It is, because I'm like, look here.
So we healing.
Like, we go figure this shit out. Like, we going to be all right. Look here, y'all.
Well, yes. Always end it with Patrick.
Oh, God, it's so good. Thank you, folks. Appreciate y'all listening. Y'all no longer have to send me Slack DMs or emails and stuff like that. Usima got a thought.
Book recommendation for the listeners, A Will to Change. I know we've talked about All About Love by Bell Hooks, but A Will to Change is a good one if this is a topic that you want to understand.
I've looked at that book for many days, and the energy from it that I get is like, this go fuck me up.
That's a sign that you've got to read it.
I was like, you know what? I put it like lower on the reading list. I'm like, yeah, I'll get to it. And then now I'm like, okay, I got time. Let me just go ahead and grab it. But go read a book, y'all. Like, go actually read a book. Like, if more people read, we would probably be in a better place. But y'all do that. We're back. We're here. And we're doing things. And okay, bye, y'all.